Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, this is a treat. We get to talk to Neil Solons. He's the Rays pre- and post-game host. He's doing play-by-play right now with Dave Wills, and he is in New York where the Rays are beginning a three-game series against the New York Yankees. And, Neil, I wanted to start with this, and Mark Tompkin wrote about this on Sunday, just the slew of injuries that this ball club has had. I mean, 21 players with 22 stints on the IL, according to Mark, 716 days served only behind the Reds and the Cubs. If I were to tell you that with all of that, including their two leading home run hitters not being with them at the moment, that this team would be 10 games over 500, you would say what?
Are you crazy? Honestly, I keep looking at it going, how is it happening? Because it's not only that, it's not only the injuries, but with all the change, I mean, I think that beyond the pitching, a lot of the guys who've had to fill in and even some of the regulars have underperformed to a degree. You know, the Rays lead the league in outs on the bases. They've been a top seven team, I think, the last handful of years defensively by all metrics. And by that same metric, they're a middle of the pack to lower, to like the bottom 15 right now defensively. And yet they're still 10 games over 500, which tells me that if they can get healthier, and they can start playing a little bit crisper baseball, I really think that this group has, you know, the ability, and they're still in a playoff spot. There's a lot of room for growth, a lot of room for improvement, and hopefully a lot of room for a lot more wins.
Yeah, and as you know, I mean, in the American League or baseball in general, so much predicated on the home run. They're 19th in the league in home runs with just 58. So that's not a stat that you would have expected to see with Kevin Kiermaier near the top of the Rays. So as usual, they have found a way, and they have done it with pitching, even though so many of their pitchers have been on the IL. And I guess you have to, you have to start with Shane McClanahan, who has anchored this staff. Look, we know he had a lot of great stuff. We knew that this guy was going to be special when you see the 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and now he's got really command of four pitches. But 7-2, a 1.87 ERA, who knew how he was going to handle being that number one, right? That's a different role, and he has responded terrifically. So what do you see as the difference or the maturation in Shane McClanahan this year?
I think, it begins with just his overall maturity and approach. His mound presence, his poise are, I think, second to none right now. I thought, like, his last start that he had against the Cardinals was a perfect example. Albert Pujols had a bloop double that really should have been a pop-up that was caught to lead off an inning. It's a scoreless game at the time, and it doesn't even faze him. He doesn't flinch. There's no reaction. And he just goes boom, 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 gets the next three batters, pulls, never advances past second base. Next inning, there's a catcher's interference against Mike Zunino. Nothing happens. The sixth inning, he gave up a run. It was on his own throwing error on a comebacker to Albert Pujols where he had all day, and he just bobbled it and fired it up the right field line. He gets in the dugout after getting the next out. He laughs about it, and all of a sudden he locks it in and retires his final seven batters. And, I think those are, like, perfect examples of how he has matured and how he's handled things. You take a look at, how frustrated he got in the Boston game in the postseason last year, and he's just come in a different – maybe not a different guy, but just has stepped up his game in so many ways. And I think he has learned to just, drown out any white noise and just say, you know what, I'll control what I can control. Let me pitch. And then as a pitcher, his stuff is just unreal. I mean, I was asked at one point, I think I was on Sirius XM with Eduardo Perez, and he asked, what makes him so good? I said, and how does he compare to some of the other great pitchers that the Rays have had? I said, I don't think any of them at this stage had four-plus pitches. I mean, right. He's not even 200 innings, and he's almost at 200 innings into his major league career. He's got 4-plus pitches that he can throw at any count for any hitter. Good luck trying to hit that when he's throwing 100, and any of the pitches that he throws are plus and can get by you.
And that's the thing. I mean, I think when you know, if you're a hitter, you don't want to go deep in a count with him, so you tend to want to, you know, jump on him early, and yet he can pitch backwards if he has to. If he sees guys trying to ambush him, you know, you're waiting for 100, and here comes the changeup.
Exactly, and the slider and the curveball.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all like really nasty pitches, and he's learned how to throw, you know, an O curveball, an O slider, an O changeup for a strike, and he's learned how to throw it where it looks like a strike, and that's what makes him so tough. And unless he's tipping his pitches. And look, the Yankees are pretty good at reading stuff. I think that's part of the reason that, you know, they've got such a veteran group. They pick up everything. You have to be on top of your game all the time, yeah. With him. But unless you're tipping your pitches, I don't know how anyone hits Shane McClanahan. I really don't. You know, unless you're sitting on one pitch, one spot, and you get a good count and he's falling behind and you're fortunate enough to barrel it up.
Yeah. Well, not many people have hit him. That's why he's sitting here with a 1.87 ERA, and I think for my money, going to be an all-star. Another left-hander has emerged in this rotation, I guess you would say, and that's Jeffrey Springs, who's put up back-to-back scoreless appearances for them. Certainly does it a different way than Shane McClanahan. Just how rare is it for a guy to go, you know, from the bullpen and be stretched out and be doing what he's doing the way he does it? Again, not overpowering necessarily, but man, he's been so effective.
He has. And he's a great story, too, because, you know, this is a guy who I think was like a 30th round pick of the Texas Rangers out of Appalachian State. You know, it's certainly not a lot was expected of him at that time. He was traded to Boston. He was traded to the Rays in a deal where I think, you know, a lot of fans were like, well, why'd you make that deal? Because Ronaldo Hernandez was a catching prospect. He's still in the minors with Boston, who was traded at the time, and he did a great job. And then, if you remember last year in July, he had ACL surgery because he got hurt against the Red Sox.
That's
going
right.
For a bunt or a swinging bunt near the third base bag. So he comes back from ACL surgery, and he's been the same guy and even better. And I think what I've been so impressed with Jeffrey is his poise and really his pitchability. You know, he's been predominantly a fastball changeup pitcher, and his changeup is so good. But he's also really now using his slider effectively. And what I mentioned in the broadcast yesterday is the impressive thing is that he's pitching with the fastball, the changeup, and the slider on both sides of the plate. And when you can cover both sides with three pitches, it's almost like having six offerings. And I think that's what makes him effective because he doesn't really pitch to a pattern. He doesn't, you know, he makes it very difficult to sit on one offering. And he recognizes when hitters are trying to do that and makes pretty good adjustments.
Yeah, no, he's been terrific. Their starting pitching has been good. There's been a lot of guys contribute out of the bullpen. But, Neil, one guy they lost, unfortunately, to Tommy John surgery is Andrew Kittredge. And he has been as good as anybody in the high-leverage moments, the late innings. First of all, talk about how he has performed up until this point with this injury and how the Rays plan to go forward now. Not that they always had a designated closer per se, but we saw Kit in more big moments than not.
We definitely did. And first of all, it stinks for him because, you know, he's such a terrific story too.
Yeah.
And such a really good guy in the clubhouse. You know, a low heartbeat guy who I think the reason that he pitches so well in leverage situations is nothing seems to faze him. This is a guy who in 2020 went off the mound in Boston and thought he needed Tommy John surgery and got some treatment similar to a PRP injection, was able to come back in 2021 and not only come back, but was an all-star and was one of the three most valuable players on the Rays at the time. And here he is, you know, in 2022, where at the beginning of the year, he was performing really well. And then all of a sudden the strikeouts started to go away and he went on the IL with what was called at the time a back issue. And then he comes back and he hadn't walked a batter since his first appearance of the season. And all of a sudden a walk, things don't feel right. Arm locks up, they check him out and he needs Tommy John. And it just, it stinks for him because of, you know, how hard he's worked to get to this point. I hope everything goes as smoothly as possible and he can make a return and hopefully a return with the Rays. In terms of the way they go from here, you know, obviously the Rays are good about putting guys in the best situation possible. Jason Adam has been absolutely magnificent. And the hope is that J.P. Feiereisen is going to be back sooner than later because he's on the IL. And the same goes with Pete Fairbanks. I think Pete is getting pretty close to going on a rehab assignment, which is very, very positive. But in the meanwhile, I think guys like, you know, from the left side, Colin Poche has been really good. Jalen Beeks has been really good. Brooks Raley has been good. Matt Whistler, I think, has been scoreless his last 8 outings. So I think you're going to see mixing and matching. And, you know, there will be some other righties, whether it's Calvin Fauché or Luke Bard or Sean Armstrong or Ryan Thompson, that will get their chances to perform too. And we'll see who kind of takes hold of it.
Yeah, and they've had a lot of changes in the day-to-day lineup, right? Guys that they were counting on. Obviously, you know, Wander Franco is out, several others as well. And there have been guys that have had to step up and maybe play more innings than they planned. Obviously, Vidal Brujan has been up and playing a lot. Taylor Walls, Isak Paredes. I mean, all these guys have come and contributed. And at various times, they've all had, you know, big games. But for the most part, I don't know that this was ever the intended role of these guys, obviously, if everybody was healthy. So of that group, just, you know, there's been some struggles with Walls. We've seen all of them kind of have their good moments, too. How have they adapted to this? Because we talk about this team that has managed to stay 10 games above 500 despite all these injuries. These guys at certain moments have all contributed in big ways.
I think they've all, I would agree with you. I think they've all had moments. I would think they probably all would say they're starting to feel a little more comfortable and mm-hmm. settle in a little bit more. But I think by and large, they all have, you know, I think they all would agree. They've underperformed offensively.
Sure,
you know, I
sure.
think that in Taylor's case, he was underperforming defensively at the beginning of the year, and we've really started to see him settle in. You know, he's played mm-hmm. a very, very good shortstop since Wander went down. I just think that, offensively, it's just been very, very hit and miss. You know, I think Vidal Brujan has started to pick up some runs batted in, but we haven't seen any of them get on a tear where they're coming up with 2-3 hits a day. I've right. actually been pretty encouraged by Isak Paredes, even though the numbers don't show. I just think the quality of his at-bat has mm-hmm. been very, very good. We're starting to see more walks than strikeouts recently. We're seeing a fair amount of power. I think good hands, whether he's playing second or third base. I'm hoping that he continues to get opportunities because, he is probably the one of the three who's had the most big league time because he was up and down with Detroit a couple of seasons. The Rays really are impressed with him overall. And I think he seems to be a little bit calmer in terms of his at-bats. Not like, you know, the opponent the Rays are facing this week, the Yankees, are easy for anyone to hit, whether it's the three youngsters or any of the veterans among the group.
Right. And, you know, I think it's interesting that of the guys that are remaining that you're counting on every day, obviously Margot has had some big moments. We'll talk about Rosarena in just a minute. For a couple weeks there, Kevin Kiermaier, I mean, he batted, he hit everywhere from first to ninth, including cleanup, which we hadn't seen him in that role for some time. And of course, defensively, he's still as good as anyone in center field. What have you seen from KK just in terms of, you know, more now has to be put on his shoulder, so to speak, with so many guys out?
Yeah, I think, you know, it would be great if the Rays were back. If they had Wander and Brandon Lau back, you'd probably see, you know, KK in the bottom third of the order. And
sure.
and that, to me, makes the Rays a much more dangerous team because it gives them a real threat in so many ways because he can steal a base. He can impact the game with his legs. He can impact the game with an occasional long ball. He can take the extra base. He can go first to third and first to home on base hits. You know, I think that's why the Rays were so successful as a group offensively, because by and large, they really didn't have a lot of injuries last year to their position player core. And so I think he's been, you know, like many of the regulars from an offensive standpoint, he's been up and down. He's had spurts where all of a sudden he gets really hot, as he did for a period, and then he gets really cold. And, you know, I think the Rays, you know, as a group, need their veterans to kind of settle in a little bit right now. You know, we're 150 some 200 bats into a regular season. And, you know, this is obviously not going to be a team that hits home runs like the Yankees. But they are near the top of the league in stolen bases. They're striking out a lot less than they have in recent years. But I think they need probably a little more hard contact and a little more driving the baseball to get a few more extra base hits. And hopefully that starts with the series against the Yankees.
And we would think you would get that from a lot of places, but mostly from a guy like Randy Arozarena, who has also been up and down at times during this year. Interesting game, the final game that they had before this Yankee series. He gets plunked twice and goes all, Rob Gronkowski and spikes the bat after the second one. So I wasn't sure what was going to happen on his way to first there. But then it kind of ignites him, right? He steals a couple bases. He's at he makes that sort of stab slide into home plate, which fortunately he didn't get hurt. And yet we began this conversation when you mentioned that the Rays have made so many outs on the bases. I think Arozarena has made 13 of them. So what is that? Where is that line between aggressiveness, which you like, and just running yourself out of innings?
I think Kevin Cash talked about it with us on Sunday, where he said, there is a fine line. And obviously he said the group has not run the bases well, but he said, it's up to him and the coaching staff to coach, because you have to remember that this is Randy's still second full season in the big leagues. And, mm-hmm. He's made some mistakes. Brujan's made some mistakes. They all have to some degree. And when you have a lot of athleticism, you don't want to start putting stop signs up and take away that and have guys who are not being aggressive. But at the same time, you have to kind of coach through it. And, I know they pulled Vidal Brujan, had a big caught stealing on Saturday of third base, where he's going to score from second on a base hit anyway. And the team was down, I think a couple of runs at the time or one run at the time. And it was 5-3, if I remember right. And it was just not the right time to try and steal third. And unless you're going to get in there standing up, and he didn't. And so I think coaching through that and teaching them for the next moment at times is going to have to occur. And the hope is that this group gets back to being a really good base running team, and making better decisions with each passing day.
Because really, Neil, and we've talked about this, in terms of baseball contemplating, eliminating the shifts and things like that. This is such an athletic baseball team. I mean, these guys, they can generate runs if, as you mentioned, they're not striking out as much as they used to. So with a little smarter base running, I mean, they put pressure on the defense already, right?
They do. From the fact that, yes, they can do a lot of things. And look, they do have a lot of guys who make contact. You take a look at the lineup before, let's say the last handful of days, I think Yandy Diaz was almost 2-1 in strikeout to, or a walk to strikeout. Harold Ramirez is a guy who puts the ball in play. Brujan, before the last couple of days, had been striking out very infrequently too. Isak Paredes does not strike out a heck of a lot either. So I think, you've got a hand, Margot is the same. So you've got a handful of guys who can put the ball in play who all run extremely well. And so if, there is, and they may have to do this against New York, although those guys are a lot of high strikeout guys, there may be times where the Rays have to get aggressive just to be able to put runs across, because against some of those pitchers, it's very rare that you're going to come up with three hits in an inning, to be frank, especially if they're singles. You hope you run into one, but you're going to probably have to be aggressive and hope that, a walk, a stolen base, a walk, a hit and run, and a productive out leads to runs.
Well, the hope is, too, that they get some of these guys back healthy. So let's kind of go through it. None more important maybe than Wander Franco, who is a superstar already at a very young age and has just battled this, whether it's quad or hamstring, I'm not exactly sure. But I would assume that, Neil, they want to get this right? They want that that when he comes back, he's in good shape for the remainder of the season and not have to go back and forth, right?
No doubt. And Dave and I have talked about this a lot on the road trip in the previous series against St. Louis, that your lower half is really important as a hitter. It's not only all the things that Wander can do with the pressure he can put on the defense, the athleticism, the stolen bases, but we've seen it with Manny Margot. Manny, since his hamstring injury, I mean, Kevin thinks that he's probably at 75-80% running wise still, and he's making do, but he doesn't have that same burst. And, I think there are times where I have not seen him drive the baseball as he did when he was named the player of the week in the American League. We saw a little bit over the weekend, so I think he's really starting to get his legs underneath him, and they DH'd him some. But the same goes for Wander. You know, all of a sudden the extra base hits that he had the first couple weeks when he set the league on fire started to go away, and I think that really started because his balance in his legs was not there, and the concern about, you know, hurting himself was there too. They're telling him to be careful. Well, you know, and when you don't feel your legs underneath you as a hitter, you know, that's a really important piece, especially for someone who's, you know, of his stature.
Yeah, no doubt. You can hard to drive the ball. And are you hearing anything, or what is sort of the buzz of about the prospects, or how concerned are they about Mike Zunino? Is Brandon Lau somebody they think they can still get back? I mean, is the cavalry going to come here before the season is over?
It is. I think it's soon, but not immediate, is the way I would look at it. So in Wander's case, he's advanced to agility drills, and now it's a question of, okay, you know, when can they start him running? And, you know, I think his swing is low enough maintenance that it won't take that long for him to get the swing back if the legs are good. In Brandon's case, obviously, we're talking about a stress reaction in his back. On Friday, he took dry swings, then he advanced to hitting off a tee. You know, next phase would be, you know, hitting off, you know, hitting actual batting practice and then advancing to some live pitching before he would start a rehab assignment. So he's making steps, but, you know, I think each step along the way, we're going to have to see, you know, Mike Zunino, you know, he has been bothered by this left shoulder issue apparently throughout the year, and he's been playing through it. Maybe that explains why he has struggled so much offensively, that, you know, I think it's been bothering him, from what I understand, more hitting than it has catching, and it started affecting, you know, him catching. That's why they gave him a couple days off, and then he came back and it was still bothering him. So I think they're hopeful that it won't be a long, you know, absence, but you just don't know. You know, I think they're still trying to figure all that out and seeing how he responds to treatment. So, you know, in the meantime, you know, I think they will get Lau back. I think they will get, you know, Wander back. I think that Luis Patino is now up to two innings and will go to Durham and start, you know, and get stretched out further. He's missed almost, you know, the whole season to this point with an oblique injury. And I mentioned some of the injured relievers that are going to get back. And look, there's also, you know, I think at some point you're probably going to see Josh Lowe return too. You know, he was sent down really for underperformance the first month. And he could also be a big piece of the offensive puzzle. If you add Lowe and Franco, you know, that really could change your offensive complexion a bit.
Yeah, and Lowe was one of those guys that made them feel confident enough to trade Austin Meadows, and they certainly could use his bat if he comes back up here and performs the way they hoped he would. Just as the Rays have to try to cool off the Yankees, you want to stay cool too, and you don't want to suffer this summer with an old AC system. Call our experts at Air Rescue. Air Rescue offers superior service at unbeatable prices. Your air conditioning unit is going to perform 30% better. It's going to last longer with regular maintenance by Air Rescue. Now, they have an award-winning team that delivers 24 hours a day. In fact, they have emergency service. This is hard to get, 24/7, and 100% satisfaction guaranteed for all the residential installation, repairs. It's family-owned. They've been in business for over 75 years. Now, get this. It's expensive sometimes with air conditioners. You never know what you're getting into. Well, Air Rescue offers 100% financing. They have affordable payments and a very easy application process with no administration, bank fees, or even extra cost with financing. What else could you ask for? Call Air Rescue at 813-612-5600 or go to airrescueflorida.com for all your air conditioning needs. Air Rescue.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, so you're in New York. It's the three-game set against the New York Yankees, who are off to as good a start as you could hope for if you're a Yankee fan, 44-16. And Aaron Judge, who gambled a little bit on himself, turned down a very, very lucrative contract. Looks like he might pay that off. He's got 24 home runs already. The Yankees lead Major League Baseball in home runs. How are they doing it? This Yankee team looks like it can't be stopped at this point, at least.
Well, this is, I think, the worry that any the rest of the league's always had if the Yanks are healthy. Like, Judge has had a history of injuries. Giancarlo Stanton, history of injuries. Mm-hmm. You know, DJ LeMahieu was banged up last year. Josh Donaldson, who they acquired in the offseason, history of injuries. Guess what? Mm-hmm. They all have been healthy. And not only have they been healthy, but the starting five pitchers have been healthy. In fact, to this point, Jameson Taillon coming back from an ankle injury, Jordan Montgomery, who has had Tommy John, Nestor Cortez, who I don't think anyone, you know, hasn't thrown more than 120 innings ever in a year, and Luis Severino hasn't had a full season since 18, have all made every single one of their starts. I mean, they've played 60 games. You mentioned they're 44-16. Those five guys have started 58 of their 60 games to this point.
Wow. Wow.
And my question is, okay, at some point, does Cortez hit an innings limit? Does Severino hit an innings limit? Do they have to worry about Montgomery and Taillon, who also have had histories? Not Garrett Cole, but, I mean, are they going to have some reinforcements? Because not only are they pitching and making all their starts, but they're providing a lot of length. I mean, these guys are all on, like, 200-inning paces at this point, 180 to 200. They've been great, and if they're going to stay healthy all the year and go on a 118-win pace, that's wonderful. But I think, you know, I think there is a history lesson to be learned, too, in that, you know, Seattle won 116 games and did not win the World Series. And so, for me, the goal is to get to the postseason and be at your best postseason. You know, I'm hoping for this group, this Rays group, that, you know, they're okay. And, you know, look, they're running into a team that's playing their best. They've won, I think, 11 of 12 and 11 straight at home. Everything's going right for them. And the same with the position players. They don't have a single position player right now on the IL and haven't really missed anyone for a long period. It's just a couple of relievers. And when your starters are making every start and going seven innings, your bullpen, you know, lack of depth maybe because you're missing Chapman and Loaisiga and Green's out for the year now, is not exposed because you're not getting into those guys early enough.
Yeah, no, they've been fortunate with the injuries, and that has been a big problem with Judge and with Stanton and others, and it is a long season. It is a marathon, and that's why the depth of the Rays organization, which is being tested right now like never before because of all the injuries, has affected them. And I go back to the job that Kevin Cash and everybody has done maintaining a 10-game over 500 pace, you know, despite all this. And you look at the American League East, Neil, and, you know, Toronto is just, I think, a half game or so above the Rays in second place. Mm-hmm. There could, and Boston is playing better now, too. You could have four teams from this division make the playoffs.
I think you will have four teams make the playoffs. I really do. I mean, you know, we've seen most of the West other than Houston to this point. We've seen Texas, the Angels before their collapse, Seattle and Oakland. And I don't know. I don't see any of those teams as better than the four in the East. You know, I've seen the White Sox, and right now they're an absolute mess in terms of all the issues they're having. I don't think as great a year as Jose Ramirez is having. I just don't know that Cleveland's deep enough. You know, I think Minnesota's going to win the Central, even though I think they've got some pitching issues. I think that division is the weakest of the three. And I honestly feel that, it's going to be the four teams in the East plus Houston and Minnesota come the end of the year. It's a long way to get there. There's still 100-plus games. But at least the way I look at it now, I'll be surprised. You know, someone may make a run at the four in the East, but I still think those four teams are all going to be in the playoffs, and it's really jockeying for position and who's hottest at the right time. As we learned last year with Atlanta and a few years ago with the Washington Nationals, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Absolutely, and health is such a big part of that, and hopefully the Rays are able to get healthy. They have a very important, they're all important, right, in the American League East three-game series against the Yankees starting tonight, and Neil Solons will be on the call with Dave Wills. You can also hear him every week, and this week in Rays baseball, does a terrific job. Neil, thanks so much for your time. Look forward to it. It's going to be a great series in New York, and again, great catching up with you.
Same here. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
All right, on tomorrow's podcast, we'll preview the Lightning's Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals playoffs in Colorado against the Avalanche. Looking forward to that. Today it's media day in preparation for the finals, so we'll hear from all the guys. And then, of course, as we just mentioned, the Rays take on the Yankees, beginning that three-game series tonight in the Bronx, New York. Going to be a big one for the Rays, and then it's on to Baltimore as they complete this road trip. Thanks for listening. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.